Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Lamid Ches. We are holding a daf Kuf Lamid Zayin Amud Beis at Amar of Yudah Amar Shmuel toward the bottom of the page, about four lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely, and also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, in memory of Yaakov Alexander Ben Tzvi Yitzchak, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and also by our Numa Chutanim, Jari and Meira Adest, in honor of the engagement of our children, Zacharia Libowitz and Gabriella Bach, and the young couple should be zocha to all the brachas in the world. And we thank our mechutan very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about is the following in today's daf. First, we're going to talk about if a recipient of a matana is not interested in that matana, he refuses to accept that matana. So does he have a right to do so, particularly when the giver is a shchiv mira? Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a shchiv mira lists a people to receive to receive his money. So he lists them. So do we assume that the order matters? Meaning that if he's saying 1, 2, 3, so it's got to go dafka in that order. And if there's no money left for the third guy, then he's not going to get anything. Or do we assume he's just trying to tell us all of the different people that he wants to give money to? Akiva, if you can mute. I'm not sure who Akiva is, but Akiva is not on mute. And I can't do it myself. Akiva, can you mute? Thank you. Okay, so it's got to be direct here. So the Gemara is then going to talk about if a shchiv mira tries to give to his bechor or his wife or his balchov with the words kara'ui lo. He tries to give them something extra and he says kara'ui lo. So how much do we read into, or how do we interpret that phrase kara'ui lo? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about whether Edim can write that someone owes a shchiv mira money if they don't know that it's true. The shchiv mira pulls aside to Edim and he says, please write down that Reuven owes me money. They don't know if Reuven owes him money, so are they allowed to write that the shchiv mira told us that Reuven owes them money? And that's going to lead us into a discussion of whether we're choshesh lebeis din towin or we are not choshesh lebeis din towin. So let's begin Kuf Lam Zayin Beis, about exactly four lines from the end of the page. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Hakosiv nechasav li'acher. If someone writes a shtar in a shtar that he's giving his nechasim as a matana to somebody else, va'amar Allah, and the recipient says, Eif Shiban, I don't want this matana. Kana, he's Kona anyway. Vafil omid v'tzaveach, even if he's standing there screaming the whole time, that I do not want this, I have no interest in this. Nevertheless, he's still Kona. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lo Kona. And Rabbi Yochanan says that can't be true. He's not Kona if he's standing and screaming that he doesn't want it. So it sounds like a very, very big machlokas over here. Does it work? Doesn't it work? Says Gemara, it's not a machlokas at all. Amar Rabbi Yab bar Mamal v'lo pligi. There's actually no machlokas here. Kan bitzoveach mei kara, kan bishosik mei kara l'besovtzoveach. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about that. The guy was screaming the whole time. As soon as you started giving him the shtar and telling him that this is going to be your matana, he's screaming that he doesn't want it. So you can't be, you can't force a person to make a kinyan. A kabbalas matana can't happen against a person's will. And whereas Shmuel was talking about where initially when they gave him the shtar, he was quiet and he just took it. And then he says, nah, I don't really need matanas. I don't want this matana. I'm not interested in this matana. Well, once you already got it, it's yours. So you could be mafkarit. You can give it to somebody else. Do whatever you want with it. But it's yours, for the time being. So it's really not a machlokas at all. The Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam all write that we're talking over here about a matnas shchiv mira, because divrei shchiv mira are kiksuvenu kumsurin dami, and since the guy is shosek, it's as if the matana was already given to him. But by a matnas bari, he's not going to be kona al yidei shtika unless the shtar kinyan, unless he actually is handed the shtar kinyan. And the Shita Nodulmi writes that they had to say this way because if we were talking about that they already had the shtar, that the guy already had the shtar, then it's possible that he's kona by just receiving the shtar, by being willing to receive the shtar. So it must be that there was no shtar that was given to him. If there was a shtar that was already given to him, then of course he's already kona. However, the Ravid is quoted in the Shittim Bet says that we're talking about that the guy threw threw his shtar toward him, and it landed in his bag or his pocket, and he was screaming Mishar Rishona. So the Rashbam implies, the Achronim Ar Medayik from the Rashbam, that it's talking about a Matnas Bari, because the Rashbam writes that we don't have the gears over here Hakosev Kol Nechasav, but Hakosev Nechasav. Now Matnas Shchivmer only works if you're Kosev Kol Nechasav. It doesn't work if you're only giving some of Nechasav. So again, the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam assume that it must be that it's a Matnas Shchivmer over here, because it must be that the guy did not yet actually receive the shtar. Because had he actually received the shtar, then there is no backing out on it. And only by Matnas Shchivmer do we say Divrei Shchivmer are Kiksuvin Kumsurin Dami, that it's considered as if the kinyan was already made. Now, why is the guy being soveach? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan soveach, where he's soveach meikara, that he doesn't want it. So the Rashbam writes, because in a certain sense, Kabbalas Matana, to receive a Matana, is considered a chov for a person. It's not always considered beneficial to a person to receive a Matana, because the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, V'sonei Matanos Yichya, that if you don't like Matanos, then you're going to live a long life. You're not looking for things for free. So you can't be mezaka a person in Matana, Bal Karcho, because he may not be interested in the Matana. The Rashash just raises the question that the Sugya in Gittin Daf Yudala tells us that we're mezaka l'adam a Matana shalo b'fanav, because zachal l'adam shalo b'fanav, and it's considered as a chusulo. So how could the Rashbam over here say, Sonim Matana Zichya, and therefore it's a chov, and therefore you can't give him Matana Bal Karcho? We know that you could be zachal l'adam shalo b'fanav in Matana, because Matana is considered as a chus, so you could be zochet to him. So how can you say that it's a chov? So the Rashash writes that what the Rashbam means to say is just why it would possibly be that a guy doesn't want a matana. I mean, of course it's a zechus, it's something for free, right? So that's the definition of zechus. But is there any logical explanation of why a guy is screaming, you're trying to give him a matana, that he's not interested in the matana? So it's not a chov in the sense of kinyanim of a chov, but it's just an explanation of why it would possibly be that the person is not interested in the matana. The Rashbam writes within the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that the nechasim does not go back to the nosin matana, meaning Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't give a guy a matana bal karcho. If the guy's screaming, he doesn't want it, then it is not his. So therefore, what happens to it? So the Rashbam writes, it does not go back to the giver, because the giver was already misalik himself from it when he wrote it over to someone else. Rather, it just becomes hefker, and therefore kalamachzik bem zacha. Anyone could go and take that matana. And he brings a source for this Reish Lakish Shita Maseches Krisos Tav Chav Dalid, that someone who's nosin matana l'chavero, and the other guy says ef shiba, I'm not interested in it. So kalakodim lahachzik bazacha, that anyone who wants to take it could take it. So the sheet of the Rashbam is that Reish Lakish was talking about a case where he's tzavach meikara, where he says, I don't want, I'm never taking possession of this. So if he never, even for a moment, took possession of it, so then his it's just hefker. It doesn't belong to anybody. However, Tosos in Dibra Maschil Kan, Tosos in the one long Tosos on this Amud, writes that Reish Lakish is talking about where he was Shasak Lubitzov Savach, meaning the case of Reish Lakish and Krisos, where someone who's Nosim Matan Chavero, and the guy says Ef Shiba, that it becomes hefker and Kalakodim Zacha, that's only if he first was quiet and was then Savach, and he says Ef Shiba, that since the Matana left the Rishus of the Nosain, when it went into the Rishus of the recipient, therefore, now that the recipient is saying Ef Shiba, Kolam Zaka Bazacha. But in our case, says Tosos, that would not be the case. In our case, he's Savach Meikara. He wasn't Shasak. He was screaming all the time that he doesn't want it. So it never really left the hands of the person who's giving it, because it never came into the possession of the person who's receiving it. And therefore, it definitely goes back to the person who's giving it. It doesn't just become Hefker. Okay, so the Gemara brings a third case where you have Machlokes Tanaim in the Braisa with someone who's Kona or not. If someone was mezaka matana through a third party, and the recipient was quiet when the shtar was given to that acher, meaning he saw that Reuven was giving Shimon a shtar by which Shimon was meant to be kona matana for Levi. So and Levi was quiet the whole time. He sees Shimon receiving this shtar. He doesn't say anything. Ulubasov, and then when they come to give him the shtar, it's Savach. He says, ah, I don't want this matana. So Banu Machlokas from Shum Gamliel Rabbanan. That's a Machlokas from Shum Gamliel Rabbanan. Ditanya, because we have a brisa about a guy who is ill and he's dying, and he's Kosiv Nechasav La'acher, and he writes in the shtar that he's giving his Nechasim as a matana to somebody else. Vahayu ben Avadim, and among that, his possessions were several Avadim. Va'amar Allah, and the recipient says, Ef Shiben, I don't want Avadim, because the Rosh Ram explains, because if I have Avadim, then I have to feed them, and I don't want that responsibility of feeding Avadim. So, Mahayu Rabin Sheni Kohen, if the supposed Mekabel Abatana is a Kohen, Hare Elochim Betruma, then they eat Truma because of that Mekabel Abatana, that Rabin Sheni, because he was definitely Zocha, and it doesn't help that he says Ef Shiben. They're his Avadim, whether he likes it or not. That's the Tanakama Shita. That once the Mekabel says, I don't want them, so then the Yorshim of the Nosein Matana are the rightful owners, meaning when he says Ef Shiben, that works. He's not Zocha against his will. So if the Yorshim of the Nosein are Yisraelim, the Avadim cannot eat Truma, because they're not owned by a Kohen. The Rashbam writes, Halacha Ketana Kama, that the Mekabel is Kona the Avadim. The Rambam says, I'm not so sure. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Zechiah, Parak Dalet, Halacha Gimel, that it's at least a Safek. And because it's a Safek, if Kadam Achar V'Zacha, if someone else comes and takes him for himself, say Ein Motzin Miyado, because he can't prove that it doesn't belong to that person. Now, the idea that the Rashbam says that the guy is rejecting the Avadim. Why is he rejecting the Avadim? Because I don't want the responsibility of feeding these Avadim. So the Rashbam explains that even though there is a Shita in Maseches Gittin Daf Yud Beis, that Yachal Rav Lomer Levet Aseim Mivei Nizancha, that a master can tell the Avad, you're going to work for me, here's going to be the deal. You're going to work for me, and I'm not going to feed you. Right? And the master's within his rights to tell that to an Eved. Still, it makes sense that a guy is not interested in taking Avadim because he doesn't want the responsibility of feeding them, because what kind of person does that? Meaning, he doesn't want to be that guy, meaning even though maybe within his rights to take these Avadim and not feed them, it's depressing every morning to wake up and watch your slaves working for you, starving to death. He doesn't want to be the guy that's causing that to happen. That's not a relationship that he's interested in. So even though he has those monetary rights to do that, a decent person would never want to get involved in such a thing. So the Gemara explains the brisa. So again, we have machlokas between Rav Shmuel Gamliel and the Rabbanan. If a person gives over all of his nechasim, including Avadim, and because of the Avadim, the guy says, I don't want them, so do they become his anyway? So that if he's a Kohen, they're going to eat Truma. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says the Tanakhama says they become his anyway, and Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, if he says he doesn't want them, so then they belong to the Yorshim of the person who was giving them. V'avinun ba'as, so they asked about this price, v'tanakhama afilu omid v'tzoveach. Does Tanakhama Shita make any sense over here? That the guy is screaming, I don't want this, I'm not interested in this matana. The whole time he's saying he's not interested, he has no das to be Kona, and it's going to be his anyway. That doesn't make any sense. So it must be Amar Rava Vitem Rabbi Yochanan. So Rava, or some say Rabbi Yochanan, explains, if he was screaming the whole time that as soon as they give him the shtar, he's saying, no, I will not receive the shtar, I do not want the shtar, then he can't be kona bal karcho. So that's not going to work. If he was quiet initially and he received the shtar, and then afterwards he starts screaming about it later that he doesn't want it, that's too late. He was already kona, so he could do whatever he wants with it. He could sell them, but in the meantime, it's his. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas between the Rabbanan and Shmuel Gamliel is zika lo al yedei acher, that they were mezakatim the avadim through someone else, vishasak, and the Makabel was quiet when he saw the shtar being given to that somebody else on his behalf. Ulbasov tzavach. And then when that somebody else came and handed him the shtar, he said, no, I don't want it. So he was silently watching as Reuven gives the shtar to Shimon and says, here, Shimon, I want you to be kona this for Levi. This is going to belong to Levi. And and so Levi's sitting there watching Shimon take it, doesn't say a word, but then Shimon turns around and gives it to Levi. And then he says, no, thank you. So that's the machlokas. Does his initial Tanakama suffer? Tanakama holds me deshasa kaninu. His initial silence as he saw this transaction happening is already indicative of the fact that there was das for a kinyan, and therefore the kinyan happened. So he's the owner of the avadim. Why is he screaming about it afterwards? Because he changed his mind. So he started screaming about it afterwards when it dawned on him the responsibility of feeding these avadim. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar ochiach saval tchilaso. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, when he was shasak, when they first gave it to the other guy, when they gave it to the other guy to be mezakid for him, and he was shasak, we weren't sure what he was thinking. It's not clear whether he was in favor of this or not in favor of this. So now that he's screaming, we know that he never was in favor of it. The only reason he didn't vocally say anything until this point, because he figured, until I have something, what am I screaming about? It only makes sense to scream if someone's actually trying to give me something. So long as I don't have the matana, it doesn't make any sense to be tzaver. So the Magen Mishnah writes that the machlokas is both by matnas shchivmra and by matnas bari. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's always the avadim are always going to go back to the nosein, both by matnas shchivmra and by matnas bari. So Lech Mishnah just asks, how could it be that the machlokas is by matnas shchivmra? The basis for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that there's no raya from the fact that he was shosik mitchila, because the only reason he didn't want to be tzavach is because it's not yet baliyado. A matnas shchivmra is nicknames by Amira, so it doesn't need to be Baliyado. The Kinyan is Chal as soon as the guy says it. So how could it be that we're talking about a Matna Shkivimra? The whole case that we're setting up is that since it was sort of happened already, but didn't really happen because it wasn't Baliyado, so maybe he didn't have to be Tzoveach yet. But by Matna Shkivimra, L'chora, he should have had to have been Tzoveach. So that's what the Lech Mishnah answers, that even though it's considered a Matna Shkivimra, L'gabe the fact that if he's Amad Chozer, it's Chozer, meaning that if the guy gets better, the matana will be batal. But as far as the kinyan, since he was mezaka al yidei acher, he's megaladas that he doesn't want the amira to be kona. Meaning by being he wants it to be zikwa al yidei acher. That's how he wants the kinyan to be chal. Meaning he wants the mechanism of the kinyan to be similar to a matnas bari, while the ramifications of the kinyan should be like a matnas shivmira. So that's what the Magen Mishnah must have meant, that it's a matnas shchivmira, yeah, but it's a matnas shchivmira where he's being mezak al yidei acher, where he's using a matnas bari mechanism, and because they're using a matnas bari mechanism, it's going to play by the rules of a matnas bari. And that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So now the Gemara discusses another matter relating to shchivmira. Tanu Rabbanan, shchivmira sha'amar tenu masayim zuz l'ploni, u'shalosh meos l'ploni, v'arba meos l'ploni. A guy says, I want you to give 200 zuz. Shchivmira says, I want you to give 200 zuz to Reuven, 300 zuz to Shimon, 400 zuz to Levi. So ain't omru kol kod b'shtar zocha. So even though he wrote all that in the shtar in his tzava'a, we don't say that whichever name came first in the shtar gets first claims on any of the money. And if there isn't enough nechasim to go around to fill everything that he had said he's giving away, so kol kod b'shtar zocha, whoever came earlier in the shtar is going to get paid, and whoever came later in the shtar is not going to receive what they get. No, we do not assume that he was putting them in that order. Lefichach, therefore, since we assume neither one is zocha prior to the other one, they're all zocha at the same time, yotzal of shtar chov gova mikulam. If someone has a shtar chov against this guy who's dying, so the bal chov can collect from all of the mekabli matanos, because they all receive equally, or not necessarily equally, they all receive proportionally based on what this fellow was trying to give to them. Aval, Amr Tnuma Sayim Zuz Laploni, the Acharov Laploni, the Acharov Laploni. But if he's a little more explicit in his wording, he says, give 200 Zuz to Reuven, and then after that, 300 Zuz to Shimon, and after that, 400 Zuz to Levi. So then Omer Kol HaKol Mishtar Zocha. Then we assume that he's going in order of priority. Lefichach Yatzal Lav Shtar Chov Gova Min HaAcharon. And therefore, if a Shtar Chov comes, since the last one was the last one to receive these Nechasim, he's going to be the first one to pay the Nechasim from the Nechasim Shabbatim. Ein Lo Gova Mishal Lefanav. And only if he doesn't have enough to suffice that to pay off the Baal Chov. So then you go to the prior guy. Ein Lo Gova Mishal Lefanav. And if he doesn't have enough, then you go to the guy prior to that. So you have to say, the Rashbam says, that we're talking about a case where he's mechalik nechasav, he's giving everything away, he's mechalik kol nechasav, he's keeping nothing for himself. Because if he kept anything for himself, then they wouldn't be kona even if he does die. Because the matna shchivim rabbi miktsas is not going to be chal unless you do some sort of kinyan sudar. And that doesn't seem to be what's happening over here. So he's giving all of his nechasim. Now the Rishonim struggle though, why does the Brice have to come up with a case where he's giving not just to subsequent people, but he's giving in greater amounts to each subsequent person. That it's two. Why not just 200 to Reuven, 200 to Shimon, 200 to Levi? Why do we have to complicate it by making it and 300 to Shimon, 400 to Levi? Why do we have to change the numbers over here? So the Rashbam writes, it's to tell me a chiddush in the Seifa, that in the Seifa it says that if he says Acharav, then the later you are, the less your chances of getting any money are. Now that's a chiddush, because if he's saying I want 200 to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, 400 to Levi, sounds like he likes Levi more than Shimon, and he likes Shimon more than Reuven. And yet we're going to say that because he said Acharav, that they get they're the last man on the low man on the totem pole. They're the last one to receive. So that's the chiddush, that even though he's giving more, but since it's Acharav, they are last to receive. The Ramban writes that it could be that it's only in a case where the numbers are not the same, only then do we say that he wants to give them all b'sha'a achas. Because, meaning, if the numbers were the same, if he was giving $200 to everybody, why did he say one name after the other? He should have, meaning, why does he have to say 200 zuz to Reuven, 200 zuz to Shimon, 200 zuz to Levi? He could have said 200 zuz to each Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? And then it would have been all the same. So if the numbers were the same, so it would bother us that he said 200 to Reuven, 200 to Shimon, 200 to Levi, and that would that alone would cause us to believe that that he's trying to put it in that order, that it should be dafka in that order. But once the numbers are different, I see why he has to split it into different phrases and say 200 to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, 400 to Levi. So I can't necessarily tell what order he's trying to do when he splits it up in that way. So that's how the Ramban is medayik. Okay, says the Gemara, weiter now. Tan Rabbanan, Shchiv Merah Sha'amar, if the Shchiv Merah says, Tanu Masayim Zuz Leploni, B'ni Bechar Kara Ulo, if a Shchiv Merah says that I want you to give 200 Zuz to this Bechar son of mine, Kara Ulo, because he deserves it, so note on the note of Becharaso, he gets that 200 Zuz as a bonus, plus his chelek b'chora. Meaning we don't say that 200 zuz is in place of his chelek b'chora. That's in addition to his chelek b'chora. Im Amar, but if he says b'v'chorasso, he doesn't say karoilo. He doesn't say give it to him because he deserves it, because I love him, because he takes care of me, because he takes care of every of his younger sibling, whatever reason he believes that this child deserves. He says give it to him b'v'chorasso, as his b'chora. Then yado al-aliyona. Then the b'chor gets to decide which one he wants. Ratza notlan, ratza notl b'chorasso. If he wants, he could take a 200 zuz bonus and then split the rest of the Yerusha evenly. Or if he wants, he could take pishnayim and forget about the 200 zuz bonus. Meaning he'll look at which number is bigger, obviously, and he'll take the larger number. But the father cannot, through saying that I'm going to throw him a bone, I'll give him 200 zuz, he cannot stop him from getting his chelek b'chora by doing that, right? Meaning he's still going to be entitled to his chelek b'chora. And the same is true by Ksuba. Ushchimra Sha'amar, Ushchimra that says, Tenu Masayim Zuz Leplonis Ishti Kara'ila. Give 200 Zuz to my wife as she deserves it. So Nataltan, Benotel says Ksubasa. She gets the 200 Zuz bonus plus she gets her Ksuba payment. But in Amar, Biksubasa, if he says give her 200 Zuz as her Ksuba payment, well then Yadal Elyona, she gets the upper hand. Ratsa Nataltan, if she wants, she could take the 200 Zuz. Ratsa Natal's Ksubasa, or if she wants, she could just take her Ksuba, which is worth more, if it happens to be worth more than 200 Zuz. The Ushrimra Sha'amar, in the third case, Ushrimra says, Tunu Masayim Zuzlaponi Balchovi Karo'i Lo. He says, I want you to give 200 Zuz to this Balchov of mine as he deserves it. So he gets the 200 Zuz and he gets the Chov that he was originally owed. The Imamar Bichovo, but if he says, give the 200 Zuz Bichovo, Notlan Bichovo, then he gets the 200 Zuz as a Piron HaChov. So the Gemara explains this last dish about the Balchov, or at least it sounds like it's explained just this last thing about the Balchov. Mishum da amar karotli lo, because he says give 200 zuz to this Balchov because he deserves it, notlan vinotel eschovo, he's going to get 200 zuz plus eschov. Vidilma karotli lo bichovo ka'amar. Maybe he meant, why is it rotli lo? I mean, when you're talking about family members, you're talking about your bechor, you're talking about your isha, it makes sense that you're saying karotli lo, that they deserve it because he's been such a good son, such a good wife. He's been such a good Balchov. Karotli lo might just mean because I owe him the money. That's why it's karotli lo. How do you know that karotli lo means that I want to give him on top of what I owe him? So that the Rabbeinu Gershom understands that the Gemara is only, when the Gemara is asking only on the seif of the Braisa about the Balchov, it's lav dafka, meaning it could have asked the same kasha on the Reisha. Rabbeinu Gershom understands, not like I just said, that karotli lo, when it comes to the Bechor and the Isha also, how do you know that it means because he's such a good son and because she was such a good wife? Maybe karotli lo means because I owe him pishnayim, or because I owe her a ksuba. That's what makes her deserving of extra money. So how do you know he means something beyond that? So Rabbeinu Gershom said the Gemara could have asked on any of the three cases we just mentioned. And the way the Rashba learns, the Rashba explains even further that because the Braisa concluded with the case of the Balchov, that's why the Gemara picks up in the next line to pick on the case of the Balchov. But it's not really about a Balchov per se, it's just about the phrase karotli lo. That does karotli lo really tell you anything? However, the Adramah, the Rimi Gash, write that legabi the Bechor and the Isha, the Gemara assumes, like I said before, that daito krova alehem, when he says karotli lo, he probably means the relationship. He probably means that she's a good wife, he's a good son, and that's probably what he means. But by Balchov, it doesn't make sense to say something like that. And therefore, we're only bothered about the karotli lo in the Balchov situation. So it's machlokes rishonim how to read this line of Gemara. So again, Mishum Damar Kroyla Notam Notal Schova Dumma Kroyla Bechova Kamar. How do you know the Balchov should get extra just because he said Kroyla? Maybe Kroyla means what he should be getting as his Chov. Answer Gemara, Amram Nachman, Amram Lihuna, Hamani Rabbi Akiva. We must be assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva in general, Didiyek Lashna Yisera, that he's Medayek Lashna Yisera, that he's always Medayek. If anyone throws in extra words that are not necessary, Rabbi Kiva's Medayik, that it must be coming to teach me something. Titnan, where do we find Rabbi Kiva's Medayik Lishna's Yaseira? We have a Mishnah in Samachdal Ramanal that a person sells a bayis to Chavero. So he's only selling the bayis. He's not selling all the extras that go along with the house. So we said, what's not included when he sells the bayis? Veloas habar, veloas hadus. He's not selling the bar that's in the chatzar of the bayis, or the dus that also provides water, because that has its own tashmish, which is separate from the bayis. It has its own usage that's not the usage of a bayis. So afal pisha kosavlo, and that's true even if the mocha writes to the kona in the shtar mechira that he's selling in the house, umka veruma, that the depths underneath the house and the heights on top of the house, the airspace on top of the house, it's still, the bar and the dus are not included in the sale. V'tzarech likach lo derech, but since the bar and the dus belong to the mocher, whereas all the property in the bayis belongs to the lokeach, if the mocher wants to access his bar v'dus, he's going to have to buy rights to the access to be able to walk through in order to get to it, because the mocher is always mocher ba'ayin yafa. So when he sells the bayis, he's selling the entirety of the house and the usage of the house, just the bar v'dus he's keeping for himself. So good, so you want to be able to access the bar v'dus, you've got to pay for that. Div Rabbi Kiva, that's Rabbi Kiva Shita. V'cham mamrim, and the Chum say, nah, he's selling Ba'ayin Ra'a. He's going to keep whatever he can. So if he's keeping the Bar Vedus, he's also keeping the rights to go to the Bar Vedus. He doesn't need to pay for that separately. So says the Mishnah, Umod Rabbi Akiva, Bizman Shah Amar Lo Chutz Me'elu, Shein Tzarech Likach Lo Derech. Rabbi Akiva's Moda, that if he says in the Shtar, Hareini Mocher Lach, Kavaroma Chutz Me'elu, that I'm selling you the depths and the heights, leaving out the Bar Vedus, Well, by saying chutz me'elu, he's saying, and I want to have free access to my bar vidus, and Rabbi Kiva's moda in that case, he does not need to pay for the bar vidus. Why? Because he didn't have to say the words chutz me'elu. Even without the words chutz me'elu, the bar vidus are not included, so chutz me'elu must be coming to say that there's something else I'm keeping for myself, right? Not just the bar vidus, but also access to the bar vidus I'm keeping for myself. So you see, Rabbi Akiva reads into every word that a person says. So if a person adds in an extra phrase, it must mean something. Alma kivin de lo tzarech. So you see from here that since the mocher didn't need to say such a lashon of chutz me'elu, vika amar, and he said it anyway, litfuya milsakasi, it must be that he's trying to keep something else for himself. So achanami, so over here also in the brayso of the shchimra, kivin de lo tzarech, since the shchimra didn't have to, he didn't have to add anything and say kara ilo, because even if he says tnu masayim zuz l'plogi belchovi, then you have to give him the 200 zuz anyway. V'ka'amer, and he says kara ilo, he adds in those that phrase kara ilo l'tfuyi milsa ka'asi. It must be that he's coming to be mosif, that they should give 200 zuz kara ilo in addition, aside from his chov. The Ritva writes that kara ilo means because he must have done the nachas ruach to me in some other matter, but he's not trying to say that he did a nachas ruach to me in the fact that he loaned me Masayim Zuz, right? That's not karoi lo. I'm not saying pay back the loan of Masayim Zuz, plus give him extra because he did such a favor to me by lending me money. Why can he not possibly mean that? So says the Ritva, that's ribbis, right? Meaning that he for sure, it must be that there's something else, there's some other element to the relationship that he feels indebted to this fellow about, and that's what the karoi lo is coming to do. The tfuya milsa ka'asi, we don't, it's a mistaver that is kavan is not to violate an iser of ribbis. Okay, so now the Gemara says another brisa with another halacha related to a shchivmirah. Tan Rav Avin, shchivmirah sha'amar. And Shchivmira says, money yesh li etzel ploni. Shchivmira says, you know, Ruvain owes me a bunch of money. Ha'edim kosvin, the edim can write a shtar that says, ploni Shchivmira omar, shaploni chayev lomana. Right? I mean, they can say, right, just write down in the shtar everything that they know. We don't know that ploni, af pishen makirin. They don't know who ploni is. They don't know who Ruvain is. They don't know that Ruvain owes any money. They don't know anything. They just know that this Shchivmira is saying that Ruvain owes them money. So they can write that up in a shtar, even though they have no idea whether Ruvain actually owes them money or not. The Yad Ramah writes, so we're talking about a shchivmirah that's mechalik nechasav, and he says the money that Ploni owes me, that should go to this one. Meaning, why is the shchivmirah talking about who owes him what? So the Yad Ramah says it's in the context of a matna shchivmirah, the shchivmirah giving away his nechasim. So he's thinking about all of his accounts receivables also. So he's saying, okay, that receivable is going to go to that guy. You know, so that's why he's mentioning this. So since the Chum gave reshus to the Edom to write that which they heard, even though they have no idea if it's true or not, lefichak shugove, therefore, when the Yoresh comes to collect this money that the father says that Ploni owes him, tzarek lavi raya. He's going to have to still bring raya that he actually owes him the money, because the fact that the Edim wrote this shtar doesn't tell you anything, because they were just writing without knowing anything. They were just writing whatever the Shchivmirah was telling them. Divrei Rav Meir, that is the shita of Rav Meir. The Achronim struggle with, the Rishonim and the Achronim struggle with, well, wait a second, if the Yoresh is going to have to bring Edim anyway, or Araya anyway, that this guy owes the money, what's the point of writing this down? I mean, what did you accomplish by writing, by Shchivmirah said, here, write this down. So then write it down, but the writing doesn't do anything. So the Rivash is quoted in the Shita Mukbetzas as saying that that nevertheless the writing of the Edim worked. It's helpful in a case where where Ploni is kofar and the chov, because if there's no ksivas ha'edim, so when Yorshim come and say we think you owe our father money, it can only be a tainas shema, it can't be a tainas bari, and with a tainas bari, with a tainas shema, you cannot be mechayev the guy shmulas hasis. But if you come with the tainas bari against somebody and he says I don't owe you any money, you can use kofar akol, you can still require shmulas hasis. So what the shchivmirah is doing by telling the edim to write it down is he's saying I am telling you with absolute clarity this person owes me money. So now we know that he has a taina that's a tainas bari. Ari, Mimela, he could impose a Shvuas Hasis based on that Tainas Bari. Rav Elchanan Kovitz Shurim writes that the sheet of the Ramban is that a Tainas Bari of a father doesn't work for a child. So against this Rivash, right? The Rivash is saying it will help to make it that the kids now have a Tainas Bari. So Rav Elchanan says the Ramban holds not that way. That if the man himself were to come to the Tainas Bari, that would require a Shvuas Hasis. But the fact that the father had a Tainas Bari does not transfer over to the children. It would still only be a Taina Shema, which then brings us back to the question, well, if that's true, then what's the point of writing this document if it's not even going to turn into a Taina Bari? So the Sma, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Chosh Mishpat writes that the Ksiva works because the Lova is not going to have the Azus to be kofar when he sees a tzava'a from the person that he owes money to written up by Eidim. Meaning it will work to just apply a little more pressure on the guy. If he wants to lie and say that he doesn't know anything, it's very easy to be meyis panav when the guy that he owes the money to isn't there. A little harder when in his dying words he asked Eidim to write down that you owe him the money. So it just creates a more difficult path toward being meyis panav. Okay, so that's the brisa. So he says, I want you to give money. I want you to write. Shkumira tells Eidim, I want you to write down that this guy owes me money. They don't have to know him. They don't have to know anything. They can write it down. But then when the Yorshim want to collect, they're going to have to bring a raya. The Chum say, Ein Kosvin. No. The Elim Kain Makirin. The Eidim cannot write something down unless they know that it's actually true. Because we have to be choshish for a Beis Din Tohen, that maybe a Beis Din is going to come to follow whatever it says in this shtar, not realizing that they have no idea if it's MS. So because we have to worry that future Batei Din that come across this case are going to trust whatever it says in the shtar, we need to make sure it's trustworthy. And therefore the ramification of that is when the Yorish wants to come collect it, he's not going to have to bring a raya, because now we were misakin that the Eidim are only allowed to write it down if they know that it's in fact true. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna. Rav Nachman says that Huna told me, Tana, that the Braisa is actually the opposite of what we just learned. That Rav Meir Omer Ein Kosvin. Rav Meir says, we do not write it unless they know what's going on. V'chachamim Omerim Kosvin. And the Chachamim say, yes, we do. V'af Rav Meir Lo Savar El Mishum Bezen Tovin. Lo Amar El Mishum Bezen Tovin. And even Rav Meir only says, Mikra Din Ein Kosvin, because of a Bezen Tovin that's not going to know the halacha that we write even though they don't know, and they're going to assume that the Eidim knew, and they're going to go and they're going to collect on behalf of the Yorish. But if it weren't for the concern of Beis and Tohim, even Rabbi Meir would have been molded to the Chachamim that you could write without knowing what's going on, because the Shchivna just doesn't have time to be Toveya the money from the Love. So Rav Dimi Minardah Hilchse in Choshen Beis and Tohim. The halacha is we're not Choshish for Beis and Tohim, and therefore the Edom can write even though they're Ein Makirim, even though they don't know what the truth is, because they don't have to worry that a later Beis Din is not going to do proper investigation, is just going to trust whatever is written in front of them. So says Gemara, Maishna Midrava. Why is the din of Eidim who hear the Tzava, the Shchivmira, where we say that we're not choshish for Beis and Tohen, any different than what Rava says in Yavamas? Dama Rava, because Rava says that if you have a Yavam and a Yavama that comes to Beis and to do a Chalitza, Ein Chosen El Mekin Makirin. The Beis and cannot do the Chalitza unless they know who these people are. And this is in fact the real brother-in-law. Vein Memanin El Mekin Makirin. They cannot facilitate a Miyun where a girl refuses a rabbinic marriage until they know who the parties are. Lefichach, therefore, Eidim that see a chalitza or a miyun in the bezin, kosvin get chalitza veget miyun. They can write it up, even though they don't know who these people are, because bezin for sure knows who the people are, because bezin wouldn't have done it if they don't know who the people are. Now, my taima, why does Rava hold that bezin has to know who the people are? Lav mishum dechosh of the bezin tohen. Isn't it because they're afraid that the next bezin that this case comes across their desk is going to trust whatever happened in the previous basin? They're going to mistakenly trust whatever happened in the previous basin. So because I'm choshesh that the next basin is going to trust whatever happened in the previous basin, that's why I need to make sure the first basin is absolutely makir, that everybody is who they say they are. But don't you see over here that Rava is choshesh for a Beis Din Tohen? So how come over here he's not choshesh for a Beis Din Tohen? So says Gemara, well, there's a huge difference between the two cases. Lo, Beis Dina Basar Beis Dina Lo Daiki. Beis Dina Basar Edim Daiki. That in the case in Yavamas, there was an initial Beis Din. Do I have to be choshesh that the next Beis Din is just going to take, just going to accept whatever the first Beis Din did? Yeah, that I have to assume, because the Beis Din is going to have a professional courtesy of trusting that the first Beis Din knew what they're doing. But the Beis Din is not going to trust just any two random guys who just decided to write that this guy owes this other guy money. No, a Beis Din has a responsibility to look into such things. They're not going to just take it at face value and automatically trust it. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful day. Tomorrow we finish Yesh Nochum. Okay. Oh, thank you.